This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and the following program is intended for all audiences.
First, there was football. Then, there was fantasy football. Now, there's fantasy football Goon with Goon and Tooch.
Fantasy football Goon with Goon and Tooch. Fantasy football Goon with Goon and Tooch.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Goon Podcast. Fantasy Football Goon is a part of the Bears Barroom Radio Network. I'm your host, Joel Mandel, the Goon. And joining me, as always, is my co-host and buddy, Tooch. Tooch, what's going on, bud?
Oh, I'm ready to talk fantasy football here again.
Yeah, what division are we going to be previewing this time?
We are going to look at the NFC East. Lots of changes in the NFC East.
There's been quite a few changes in the NFC East, and there's a few standout fantasy players as well, so lots to talk about.
Yep, and one Super Bowl champion.
Yeah. Your Super Bowl pick. I'm not going to forget that one for a while. But yeah. Let's just jump right into it. I mean, I could go ahead and run through the format again one more time in case folks aren't familiar. Real quick, we're just going to talk about blue chip players, which are fantasy studs. Then we'll go into good bets, which are guys that are probably going to do pretty well for you. Sleepers, people that, you know, just need an opportunity and maybe they can break out. And then rookies to watch, defensive outlook, and strength of schedule. So with that said, John, let's just hop right in and talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Really only one blue chip player on the Cowboys, John, and we're talking about Ezekiel Elliott. Kind of had a season mirrored with issues last year after dealing with a suspension that he fought and finally served. So even with all that, he almost rushed for 1,000 yards. 7 touchdowns, 26 catches for 269 yards, and 2 receiving touchdowns. So even being out for a good chunk of the year, he had a nice season.
Yeah, missing 6 games and still getting almost to 1,000 yards, almost 100 yards a game, 7 touchdowns. Did a good catching the ball, too, a couple touchdowns there, but really messed up the top of the draft, you know, and remember last year and happened to be in our work draft, person who had the number one overall pick, you know, of course, took David Johnson, then came back with a second round pick, and Ezekiel Elliott was sitting there and he had both of them. We were just like, oh man, well, here we go, you know. But of course, David Johnson went down.
Sure did.
And he still had Ezekiel Elliott. So, it kind of worked out for him. I think he made it to the championship game, but missing out David Johnson really hurt.
Yeah, it really did. And Ezekiel Elliott was one of those players that kind of people relied on, and he didn't quite get it done for them, especially after serving that suspension. But high hopes for him this year, being able to play a full season. He's got a good offensive line, and he has the bulk of the carries. So he's a workhorse, and that's kind of what you look for in a fantasy back. So Ezekiel Elliott is a solid play, so draft Ezekiel Elliott. We don't have to tell you that. But
and he's free of suspension this year. So
yeah,
far.
that's important. Yeah, hopefully no more suspension. But let's scoot on into the good bets section. And John, who do you have for some good bets on the Cowboys?
Of course, Dak Prescott, who was pretty impressive last year. Not as good as his rookie year, maybe, and has still passed for over 3,000 yards at 22 touchdowns, 13 picks, so their interceptions were a little high. But, you know, he's a dual threat. He rushed for 357 yards and 6 touchdowns on the ground. So, made up for that with doing a lot with his legs there, especially getting in the end zone.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's got no really competition at quarterback, so he's going to be the guy. I don't see him as a starting fantasy quarterback. I think he's more of a bench guy that can kind of help you out. How do you feel about Dak?
Well, there's a lot of changes at wide receiver, so It's hard to say right now. I'm kind of with you with him being kind of maybe a wait and see for see whether he turns into a your first position quarterback on your squad. But he'll make a damn fine backup quarterback for sure. It's just the receiver, the changing receivers, you kind of don't know what you're getting this year with the receivers. Yeah, it puts it in doubt.
Yeah, and that's a good segue into my next good bet here. And I think Cole Beasley is going to be a good bet. Dak would look his way often, even with Dez Bryant on the field. And after the departure of Dez Bryant, I mean, you have to imagine Cole Beasley is going to see the majority of the targets here out of the slot, maybe kind of have a Wes Welker-like season. Last year, he had 36 catches for a little over 300 yards and four scores. Now, while those numbers aren't incredibly impressive, I imagine that they're going to climb this year. Probably, I'd say he might even double, maybe a little over double those numbers. So I think Cole Beasley's a great wide receiver number three, and if you have him as a bench player, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, I think he had some injury issues last year, but he's often targeted by Prescott, so I expect his numbers to go up. Like you said, well, the Wes Welker comparison is a good comparison. So they also have Allen Hurns. They signed as a free agent from Jacksonville. So, of course, Dez Bryant is gone, like you said. That's a guy who took away a lot of his receptions are gone now. So there's room for Hurns and the other receivers on the Cowboys. But Hurns, he was also injured last year. Only had Beasley only had 36 catches. They both had like four touchdowns. It is a wait and see on that receiving core.
Yeah, I think so too. And, we just have to see how it all plays out. I mean, it's still a possibility that Dez ends up back there. I mean, I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to sign with, I don't know. Let me just shoot in the dark here. Maybe like a San Francisco or something. I don't know. But I can tell you another good bet on the Cowboys, and that's always Dan Bailey, their kicker. 15 field goals, 3 of 5 from 50 plus yards last year. So yeah, Dan Bailey, always solid, good kicker, especially towards the tail end of your draft. Better be the last round as far as I'm concerned, but Dan Bailey's pretty dependable for a kicker, so nothing wrong with that. But let's scoot into the sleeper section here. Always some sleeper receivers on the Cowboys. I feel like they're always chock full of sleepers. But Terrence Williams has been a sleeper for as long as I can remember. Again, he's a sleeper again this year. So you're talking about 53 receptions last year, 568 yards. But most importantly, he didn't have a single touchdown. What the heck?
Yeah, it's surprising. In 16 games, he couldn't even get in the end zone. Now with Dez Bryant gone, he's kind of the default number one. But I don't know, Joe. I'm kind of out. The jury's out on him for me. I don't know. I don't know what to expect from him. He's had lots of promise and just has been mediocre at best.
Yeah, and he's burned me too many times. So he's a guy for me that I'm going to leave him in the draft. And if I decide to take a chance on him, it's going to be off of waivers. But he's always going to be there as an option. And who knows? Maybe this is his year. But who are the? They got some good tight ends too, John. Talk a little bit about those tight ends on the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked because this to me is the who replaces Jason Witten show.
Yeah,
they have like three young guys, three or four young guys. The first one is we're going to talk about here. One's a rookie, and two are like second year players, I think. Mm-hmm. Former practice squad players. The first one who's been lighting it up in practices is Blake Jarwin. He was an undrafted free agent 2017. He's 6'5", 246. He's kind of built like Jason Witten, and he's been having a good connection with Dak Prescott. So I don't know. I think he is kind of the default starter right now, although there is another guy they have that a lot of people are high on. This kid's name is Rico Gathers. He's 6'8", 284. He's never played. He didn't play college football. He's was a college basketball player at Baylor.
Oh, wow.
So
like Jimmy Graham.
Just switch. Yeah, he's making the switch to tight end, but 6'8", 284 with you know, basketball footwork. You know, it's interesting, Joe. Of course, the third guy's a rookie, Dalton Schultz, who's a guy I like coming out of Stanford. He does it all. He's a good blocker, good receiver. Didn't have a lot of action because, you know, they didn't throw to the tight end that much at Stanford's. But there's lots of potential with Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, no shortage of tight ends in Dallas, but I guess it's more of a wait-and-see situation. But watch the preseason. It's going to be a big teller. So I'll be watching Cowboys games this preseason.
Yeah, and then, you know, of course, there's a couple rookies also that they drafted. I think they kind of drafted their Dez Bryant replacement. This is a kid I liked in college coming out this year. His name's Michael Gallup. And seems to light it up a lot. You know, he was at the Senior Bowl for Colorado State. He had 100 catches, 1,418 yards, and 7 touchdowns. So he's got a bit of a knock as not being a good practice player, or more of a game player. But as a pro, maybe that changes and he reaches his full potential. But he's definitely interesting to watch or to keep an eye on this. Like you said, in the preseason.
Yeah, and in keeper and dynasty leagues, definitely hold on to Michael Gallup. A lot of potential out of him. And then, of course, you got a nice-looking running back out of Alabama, Bo Scarborough, running for almost 600 yards last year in college, 8 touchdowns, only a few receptions, about 17 on the season for 109 yards. But Bo Scarborough could factor into this offense.
Yeah, and Dallas probably, upset with not having a good fill-in for Ezekiel Elliott. Maybe, this is a hedge against future suspensions. Of course, I think they still have Alfred Morris, Joe.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, so, but Bo Scarborough is a big back. Quite close to 250 pounds. But someone to keep an eye on again over there. Of course, Ezekiel Elliott's still the big dog, but any injury to Elliott, any suspension to Elliott, and Bo Scarborough could get some carries. So someone who could become fantasy relevant.
You think he's going to run up Scarborough Hill, John? That was a dad joke. but anyway, let's scoot on from that. Let's talk a little bit about the defense of the Cowboys. They're generally a pretty good defense, and their special teams has been pretty good for a while as well. But with that said, I don't think they're a team you're going to draft a defense yet. They're a bye week fill-in and just kind of wait and see. Kind of like the Jaguars were at the start of last year, but I don't know if they're going to be quite that good, but you never know. So just keep an eye on this Cowboys defense. I think they can impress.
Yeah, they still have DeMarcus Lawrence rushing the passer. He's playing on a franchise tag. And then they drafted one last year, Randy Gregory, who's reinstated now after suspension. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's kind of a wait-and-see streaming defense to start. Although they have a schedule, pretty average middle of the pack schedule. So to me, still wait and see. Possibly a good streaming defense.
That takes us out of Dallas and into New York, where the New York Giants have a handful of blue chip players this year. Totally renewed offense, a new sense of life. Saquon Barkley drafted in the first round. And he was a stud in college last year, John. 1,271 yards rushing, 18 touchdowns, 54 catches for 632 yards and 3 receiving touchdowns. Saquon Barkley was a fantasy stud in college, and I think he's going to be a bigger fantasy stud in the NFL.
Yeah, I have him listed as one of the Giants' blue chip players because the offense is going to go through him. So, I mean, he still hasn't proved anything in the NFL. So he still has that question mark hanging over him. But by all counts, should be fine. Giants look like they finally have a running game after, you know, trying to find anybody to carry the ball, from Paul Perkins to Orleans Darkwa to Shane Vereen. They just haven't had anybody good back there in quite a while. So fans probably are super happy and super excited to see Saquon Barkley, Joe.
Yeah, I'd say so too. And everyone keeps asking me, where do you draft Saquon Barkley? Well, it depends partially on your league. If you're in a PPR league, you draft him higher. If you are in a standard league, you still draft him high, just not quite as high. I think Saquon Barkley is a second round pick, maybe early third round. But if you're in PPR, he's definitely going to go in the second round. I think it takes a little risk, but at the same time, that risk can definitely pay off if he turns into the fantasy stud that you and I both think he's going to become.
Right. I think you might see him go in the first round too, in the back half of the first round.
If that preseason preseason shows it, then yeah.
People who miss out on the top running backs, maybe, hey, I'm going to take Saquon Barkley because this guy could be, you know, like a Le'Veon Bell light, you know, Leonard Fournette territory. And these guys are all first-round picks. So we'll see.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. And let's talk about our next guy here, and he's going to make things a little easier for Saquon Barkley because they can't stack the box against him. Odell Beckham Jr., fantastic wide receiver, had a terrible ankle injury last year, only played a very small amount in the season, 25 catches, 300 yards, and 3 scores. But we all know the kind of talent that Odell Beckham Jr. has. He looks healthy. He looks explosive. And I think with Saquon taking some of the coverage and all that defensive action away from him, I think Odell Beckham could have a monster season.
Not his usual season, of course, but you know, he's always a double-digit touchdown threat. So I'm not sure where he's going to get drafted. I mean, I you know, you got to think Saquon Barkley's going to take away a lot of his touches. So and you know, of course, he's coming back from the injury. Maybe he's a second-round pick, Joe. What do you think?
I think he is a second-round pick, but I think he's going to get drafted in the first round. I don't think there's any way around that, especially the way fantasy is these days, especially PPR. So probably a first-round pick, but for me, I'd rather take him in the second.
Yeah, we'll have to see, you know, some mock drafts to see where he's going. It's kind of a little, you know, it's a wait and see in the preseason how he's looking and how these mock drafts and where he's going, but... You know, you're right. He could be end of the first round, but I'm gonna lean toward he's a second rounder this year. Just with the touches going to Saquon Barkley, the emergence of Evan Engram, and even, you know, the improved play of Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got another guy, another powerful big guy that's going to be a blue chip player. The tight end you drafted last year, John. I'm talking about Evan Engram. Had a great rookie year, 64 catches, 722 yards, and most importantly, 6 touchdowns. That was pretty good for you last year, John.
Yeah, he's kind of built more like a big wide receiver. But yeah, I took a flyer on him. I liked him coming out of college, out of Ole Miss, and he paid off. I think I missed out on a lot of the tight ends, you know, that went, there was a run on tight ends in like the 4th, 5th, 6th round, around there. I ended up having to take Charles Clay. It was like, you know, the best guy left, or Hunter Henry, one of those guys. I think it was Hunter Henry was like the best one left on the board.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of the draft, 15th round or so, I just said, I'm going to take this guy. Maybe he just does something. And he finished in the top 5 of tight ends for fantasy. So that paid off. So you can always find, you know, players at the back end of the draft. You know, if you are looking, you know, you're looking around for potential, you know, it's not out of the question to find these players late.
Yeah, no, not at all. And then you have to factor in too, the Giants have a new head coach. They got Pat Shurmur. I imagine this offense is going to be totally retooled, and I think Eli's probably going to feel rejuvenated here. And I think that's a good segue into our next good bet here. Another wide receiver that had a nice season last year, and talking about Sterling Shepard, almost 60 catches, 59 grabs for 731 yards. Only two touchdowns, but still, that's the kind of thing you like to see.
Yeah, and here's a guy where, like, Saquon Barkley can help. You know, his teams focus on Saquon stopping Barkley. Guys, you know, and then maybe they'll go to stopping Ingram and Beckham Jr. And Sterling Shepard's the guy that's going to feed. You know, it could be a sneaky mid-round pick, mid to late rounds, Sterling Shepard. He's definitely a draftable player. And then, like, I mean, Evan Ingram is not going to be a 15th round pick anymore. I'm looking at him probably 5th or 6th round, Joe, maybe 7th round.
Yeah, he'll probably go. I think he's going to go in the 5th or 6th because he had a very solid year.
He had a solid year, and again, though, here's the deal. I think Ingram might take a step back with Barkley there and getting a lot of those, you know, screen passes and you know, a lot of carries as they focus on the run game. But you never know. I mean, the guy who's really the ultimate benefactor of all these weapons is going to be Eli Manning.
No doubt. No doubt about that. And he hasn't had this for a while. So Eli, with all of the issues last year and all of the offensive struggles and getting benched, he still threw for almost 3,500 yards, 19 touchdowns, but 13 interceptions. So with these great targets, do you think that goes up or you think it goes down? What do you think, John?
I think it's definitely going up. They had no running game. They had a bad offensive line. They worked on their offensive line in the offseason. So I think Eli's numbers are going to go up. And I think right now we're looking at him as the number two quarterback on your squad. But with these approved weapons, I mean, he could push himself into the, you know, number one quarterback realm. But definitely still wait and see. You know, I mean, I think he's a backup quarterback on your squad at this point, but you know, streaming quarterback for you too if you want to play the matchup with him. You know, if you've got New York going against the worst pass defense in the league, definitely fire up Eli Manning because he's got the weapons.
Yeah, he does, and he's going to be a guy that I'm going to recommend for people to play a lot in daily fantasy, so DraftKings or FanDuel. He's going to be a value pick that's probably going to be relatively inexpensive, and he's going to perform for you. So in terms of a regular draft, towards the tail end of the draft, you can pick him up with the possibility of being a starting quarterback if things fall the right way. You can't go wrong drafting Eli this year. I think he's got a lot to prove.
Yeah, I do too. And then, you know, there's nobody behind him. They have Davis Webb, I think. He was a rookie last year. Looks promising. It came from the same school and coaching that Jared Goff. Yeah, he was a successor of Jared Goff at Cal. The Giants are trying to get another year or two out of him. But we'll see. Again, this is a wait and see for me. But, you know, some people may be pulling the trigger on Eli in the late rounds just to have a capable backup in case their starter goes down.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that strategy. And in terms of rookies, I mean, the only one we're really thinking about here is Saquon Barkley, so obviously watch out for him. Their defense is pretty good, but their special teams have been pretty horrendous the last few years. But I'd say they're a wait-and-see kind of team. John, what do you think about the Giants' defense?
Yeah, they're not bad, but I'm with you. Wait-and-see streaming defense. They were the worst special teams in the league, according to Rick Gosselin's special teams rankings. So, we'll see. Maybe they make some improvements there. The defense wasn't bad. I mean, they just happened to play against, you know, the Eagles twice and suffered some bad defensive performances. But, you know, there's some potential there. They're an okay defense.
Yeah, so just leave them be for now, wait and see. And they have a very hard schedule. So I would leave that defense for now, and I guess we just have to wait and see what happens with the Giants.
For sure, for sure.
And that takes us to the Super Bowl champs, John. We're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. Why don't you talk about their blue chip players for us?
Yeah, they're loaded. Lots of good players. You can see the big list of players. It starts with Carson Wentz coming back from injury. It all hinges on him. Of course, Nick Foles played good in his absence. But before he got hurt, Carson Wentz, 3,296 yards, 33 touchdowns, Joe, only 7 interceptions. Also rushed for about 300 yards, 299 yards on the ground. So getting it done with his legs. But 33 touchdowns in you know, limited action. So if he's healthy, where do you think he'll be drafted, Joe, after the injury? That's a big question.
It is a tough question. I personally think, based off of his performance last year, I think he's going to fall probably in the 4th round. I think that's a good place to get him. I say it's a pretty decent value for how well he played last year. So I love Carson Wentz. I love his accuracy. And I love to see what he's going to do coming back from this injury.
Yeah, I'd watch in the preseason. See, I mean, he's probably not going to play much in the preseason, though. That's the thing. But definitely take an eye on reports. Keep an eye on reports from camp. See how he's doing. You know, kind of like the same thing we'll have to do with Andrew Luck.
Right.
You know, and his shoulder injury. Another blue chip player on there is Zach Ertz. And yeah, I know, guy, you were super high on. And everybody targeted because we all knew he was going to have a good year. And he did, Joe.
Yeah, he was fantastic. I drafted him in every single league I was in last year. And, oh, it feels good when you actually hit it and you get it right. Zach Ertz, 74 catches, 824 yards, and 8 touchdowns. For a tight end, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, great. Top 3 of tight ends. You know, he's up there with Kelce and Gronkowski. So, it's hard to find tight ends like that, you know. That's why it was good when you had Ertz, I had Engram. We both had decent tight ends.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are hard to find. You know, there's only maybe 5 or 10 good quality starting tight ends. The rest of the guys are kind of all, you know, a mixed bag of wait and see.
Right.
So, but Zach Ertz, man. Zach Ertz will be, 3rd round probably, I'm thinking. Maybe 4th.
Yeah, 3rd or 4th round, and I have no problem with that. He's worth every penny, whatever you pay to get him. With that said, I don't know if he can match last year. It depends. It depends if we get a full season of Wentz, because Wentz loves him. And it depends if Ertz can stay healthy as well. So a lot of factors there, but I still think you have to draft him because he gets the volume.
Yeah, he's often targeted. Here's another factor, is that these are the Super Bowl champs, and every team they play are giving them their A game.
Yeah.
So that's another factor. You know, everybody gets up to play the champ, you know. Everybody wants a piece of the champ. So, I expect Philadelphia to probably not have as good a season as next year as they encounter everybody's best game. They still have a fairly easy schedule, but, we'll see. I'm still, I'm focusing on some of these guys like we're talking about here. Other blue chip player I have listed, I'm not sure. His Alshon Jeffrey, and he only had 57 catches last year. 9 touchdowns, though, which is really good. He was getting in the end zone. Didn't hit 1,000 yards. But you know what? Alshon was healthy the whole year, which wasn't the case always with the Bears. He had soft tissue injuries.
Mm-hmm.
If he has any kind of soft tissue injury in training camp, I'd say definitely avoid him. You want to avoid anybody that has any kind of lower body injuries, especially hamstrings, ankles. Does that seem to, we saw that with Corey Davis in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Never really got healthy till the end of the season. That was a guy that I was looking at, I liked him coming out of college. We'll talk about him when we get to the AFC South preview. But Alshon Jeffrey, he's probably a number 3 receiver on your squad, maybe 2. Number 2 receiver on your squad, and probably get drafted like a 2. And play like a 2. Maybe people get lucky in some leagues and then get him around the 6th, 7th round.
Yeah, I think he's going to fall because he didn't quite perform the way people thought. His touchdown count was great, but his receptions just quite aren't there, along with the yardage. But for me, he's a number 3 wide receiver. If you can get him as a number 3, you're doing pretty good, with the potential to act like a 2. But you just have to see how Alshon's going to play. As long as he's healthy, definitely draft him. 6th round, maybe 7th if you get lucky. But we have some good bets here on the Eagles as well. And I'm going to start with the guy who I think is probably going to end the season up as a blue chip player. I'm talking about Jay Ajayi. 873 yards last year between the Dolphins and the Eagles for only one touchdown, but he had 24 catches for 158 yards receiving and one receiving touchdown. Now that Ajayi has had time to adapt to this offense and they kind of see what he can do, I think Jay Ajayi is going to be a big part of this offense. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think he's going over 1,000 yards rushing this year, and I think his touchdown count's going to go over 10.
Yeah, for me, I like this player, you know, because you never know when he rips off a 200-yard game. It's just that, you know, the injury problems, you know. He's often injured. Boy, if he really hits, he's got that high ceiling, you know, and of course, if he really hits for the Eagles are banking on a big season from him, too. If he really hits, man, then the Eagles will really be a tough team to beat again this year.
Yeah, and we're going to remember, LeGarrette Blount is gone. He's not going to be stealing goal line carries anymore. So I think that only adds to Ajayi's value.
Yeah, if Ajayi is going to be the workhorse, I know they still have Darren Sproles and Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood. Corey Clement kind of showed at the end of the season. We'll talk about him in a little bit. And, of course, you never know what you're going to get from Darren Sproles. You know, he was injured in the first game or in the preseason last year. I think he was injured in the first game.
Yeah.
Maybe the first or second game. Didn't play much at all. Ended up missing pretty much the whole season. So, you know, Jay Ajayi, I don't know if he's going to spring out of the box right away as a number one. That's my only fear, Joe.
Yeah, you got to wait and see, but I'm willing to draft him. I think it's worth the risk. So, for me, that's a guy I'm targeting in all my leagues because some folks are just down on him, and I think he's going to explode this year. But
yeah, I think he's going to be a mid-round pick, Joe, probably.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think he's going to outperform that position for sure. And a guy who definitely outperformed his position last year is Nelson Agholor, a guy that a lot of people had written off. Came out of nowhere to have 62 catches, 768 yards, and 8 touchdowns. For a guy that I don't think went drafted in any of my leagues last year, that's incredible.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he was undrafted. But, yeah, 8 touchdowns, all, you know, that's good. And, yeah, I mean, he had a good season. Him and Jeffrey, you know, their performance wasn't that far apart. You know, so it's hard to say what Agholor is going to do. I like to think he's going to take another step and become the star there. He does a lot of his damage out of the slot. Of course, now that the Eagles have signed Mike Wallace, you know, it's another receiver to keep an eye on. You know, they're three fairly decent receivers, you know, Jeffrey, Agholor, and Wallace. We'll talk about Wallace in a few minutes here.
For sure. And the last good bet here is Jake Elliott. Great season last year kicking, 26 field goals, and he hit 5 of 6 from 50-plus yards. So this kid was clutch, and I think he's going to build on that this year.
Yeah, I think he was cut, and the Eagles ended up picking him up. I know they didn't draft him or sign him as an undrafted free agent, but, yeah, he was touted coming out of college. I liked him. I signed him, and he got injured at the end of the season, Joe, I think, and missed a few games at the end of the season or
yeah,
late in the season. He was really having a good season before he got injured. But yeah, another guy definitely to keep an eye on. And with that Philadelphia offense, you know, he'll have lots of opportunities for field goals.
Yeah, he will. And there's a bunch of sleepers on this Eagles defense too, man. You talked a little bit about Mike Wallace, finally a deep threat for the Eagles. I know Elshon had that last year, but he didn't quite have as many deep balls as I expected out of him. Mike Wallace last year had quietly had a pretty decent season playing with Joe Flacco. 52 catches, almost 750 yards, 4 scores. So Mike Wallace still has a lot left in the tank.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Late round pick for me. There's lots of weapons on the Eagles as well. But we'll see with Wallace adding that deep dimension. You know, he's still very speedy, deep ball threat, which will open it up for Agholor and Jeffrey. And then on other sleepers, of course, we have listed the two running backs we talked about, Corey Clement and Darren Sproles. But Corey Clement had 6 touchdowns last year in limited duty, rushed for 321 yards and 4 touchdowns on the ground, was a good receiving back with 10 catches and 2 touchdowns. Had some decent games in the playoffs too, Joe.
Yeah, he did.
So this kid may be ready to take a step in his second year. And then, of course, Darren Sproles coming back. Darren Sproles, of course, not young anymore, but we'll have to see what he looks like too. After missing all of last season,
he's getting old. I think he's more of a special teams player at this point in his career. But you know, we're gonna see what happens. Got to watch the preseason. But talk to me a little bit about Mac Hollins, John.
Well, yeah, this is Mitch Trubisky's deep threat out of North Carolina. Had some deep balls last year. If Wallace doesn't work out, maybe see Mac Hollins. This guy's big and he's fast. Great special teams player. Only 16 catches, 226 yards, and a touchdown as a rookie. But, it was very limited duty. We'll see. Any injuries to Wallace or Jeffrey or Aguilar, you're going to see Mac Hollins. This is a deep sleeper, probably someone to watch on the waiver wire, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of people to watch, let's talk. They drafted a pretty good rookie tight end here to go along with Zach Ertz. I'm talking about Dallas Goedert out of South Dakota State. Had an incredible season last year. 72 catches, 1,111 yards, and 7 touchdowns. So I imagine they're going to have some good 2 tight end sets, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Dallas Goedert have a bunch of good games this year and be fantasy relevant as a tight end number 2.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Super talented player. Of course, any injury to Ertz and this kid will really break out. But I'm not sure who'll get drafted, but like Mac Hollins, someone to keep an eye on in the preseason and on waivers.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And obviously we're talking about the Eagles, so we know they have a fantastic defense, definitely in the top 5, and their special teams are very good as well. So we know what to get with them. They're a defense that's going to get drafted earlier than everyone else. I imagine they'll probably get started drafting defenses in probably the 10th round. I've seen defenses that win the Super Bowl go even earlier than that. I do not recommend it. I take a defense in the last couple rounds, but if you want the Eagles defense, you're going to have to take them early.
Yeah, for sure. And I targeted them last year because I love their pass rush, and I really expected them to be good. Love their defensive line. And then, you know, when I went to, like, look at them in the 9th, 10th, 11th rounds, maybe started to think about, you know, when defenses started to pop off the board, you know, Minnesota, Seattle, Denver, all those defenses started to go. I was like, oh, Philadelphia. Like, where's Philadelphia? Well, by the time I looked, they were gone. Yeah, you're definitely going to have to probably spend a 9th, 10th, 11th round pick on Philadelphia's defense. But I expect they'll be a top 5 defense, like you said, Joe.
Yeah, and their schedule and their strength of schedule is somewhere in the middle of the pack, kind of similar to how it was last year. So Eagles, definitely worth drafting. Defense, fantastic. Going to be a fun year to watch them. But a team that think about right now is the Washington Redskins. They had the first offseason splash, and that was acquiring Alex Smith, who, needless to say, is one of their blue-chip players. Had a fantastic season last year. You would know, John, you had him on your fantasy team and you took him really late. That really paid off for you. Alex Smith, a little over 4,000 yards, 26 scores last year, only 5 interceptions. And the guy who started rushing last year, 355 yards and 1 rushing score. So if he can get anywhere near that, Alex Smith is a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, he had a 79-yard run. I remember that play too. But it just kind of like took off and kept running.
Yeah.
Nobody knew he was running. An older quarterback, but still very athletic, very smart player. As you can see, only 5 interceptions. Does some damage with his legs. Different offensive system in Washington and different skill position players. But as we'll talk, we'll see as we get through there if they're players that it's not as bad looking as you think. You know, after last year's season with their skill position players that made some changes, there's still some good talent there. Let's talk about their other blue chip player, Joe. And that's a guy who's often injured, but he's so good, and that's Jordan Reed.
Yeah, Jordan Reed is, I had him for his healthy season when he was fantastic, and it was great to me. And then I've drafted him, and he burns me. Guy cannot stay healthy, but he's so darn talented, like you said. Last year, only had 27 catches, only 211 yards, and two scores. So for where you have to draft Jordan Reed to get him, I don't think it's worth it. I don't think you can trust it when you want a tight end that you're drafting high. You have to believe in him, and you have to see a bunch of good work from him. And you just don't have that case study when it comes to Jordan Reed. He hasn't been able to stay healthy, but man, he's a heck of a talent. But is it really worth it if he's only going to play four or five games? Definitely not.
Yeah, he's very fast. He's an excellent route runner, good hands. But yeah, couldn't stay healthy. Had the ankle and foot injuries last year. Have to keep an eye on his health, you know, in the preseason. But I think his draft, where he's picked in the draft, will fall a little bit. But there's always going to be people who are going to draft him based on his tremendous potential, and maybe get burned, and maybe not. But you know, low floor, high ceiling. Wait and see for me. Probably would really have to keep an eye on him, but the potential's there, like you said, Joe.
Well, you do have to remember that Alex Smith was throwing the Travis Kelce, and look what he did for his career. So just keep that in mind. Like I said, I'm not drafting Jordan Reed this year, but somebody else might, and it may come to bite me in the butt. So definitely something to keep an eye on. Bunch of good bets on this Redskins team. And I'm going to start with Jamison Crowder, who had a really nice season last year. 66 catches, 789 yards, and 8 touchdowns. So that was not expected by me. And I'd say whoever drafted him got their money's worth.
And I drafted him, Joe, but he was a slow starter, and I ended up dropping him. And tried to get him back, but it was too late. So that's my Jamison Crowder story. But yeah, he wasn't doing anything like the first four games of the season. And, you know, as I think I started the season 0-4, you know, and I was trying to make something happen. Didn't have the patience to stick with him. But as you can see, 66 catches. He's gotten the end zone eight times. Now, with Alex Smith, I think he's going to be just as good, maybe even better. That's my outlook for him. Mid round pick. For me, but the potential to take another step, especially with Terrell Pryor gone, he's kind of the guy. He's an excellent receiver from the slot. Very hard to cover, short area, very fast, shifty. He's a smaller guy, but you know, he's probably going to be, you know, like we were talking about with the, you know, these smaller slot receivers like Julian Edelman and Wes Welker and Cole Beasley. That's the crowd that this guy's in. Jamison Crowder, I still like his potential for this season, Joe.
Yeah, me too. And there's a lot of guys with potential here. Chris Thompson had a fantastic year last year. You know, slowed down by injury, but when it comes to receptions, the guy was a PPR machine. Only 294 yards rushing with two scores, but he had 39 catches, little over 500 yards and four scores receiving. So I think Chris Thompson can be even better with Alex Smith.
He's a very good player. Battled injuries last year. When he's healthy, yeah, very, very good. He's a great third down back. Probably one of the best in the league on third down as a receiving threat.
Yeah, I'd say so too. And then along with him, another good bet is Vernon Davis. I know it's another tight end, but due to the amount of injuries that Jordan Reed usually has, Vernon Davis stepped in admirably last year. 43 catches for 648 yards and three scores. So Vernon Davis, towards the tail end of your draft, if you need somebody, you can grab him late. Or he's one of those guys you got to keep an eye on waivers. And then once Jordan Reed inevitably gets hurt, you pick him up, stash him, and boom, you have yourself you know, a pretty darn good tight end.
Yeah, I had him last year and banking on a Jordan Reed injury. So you can see it did pretty good, 43 catches, you know, so over 600 yards, only three scores. But, you know, as you're monitoring Jordan Reed's health, you know, you're also looking at Vernon Davis. You know, they've got two good tight ends. So something to keep an eye on for sure. If Jordan Reed isn't around, Vernon Davis and Alex Smith are going to be hooking up.
Yeah, no doubt. But moving into the sleeper section here, you know, they have a new acquisition from Seattle, Paul Richardson, who quietly had a great year last year. 44 catches, 703 yards, and six touchdowns from a guy that no one expected it from.
Yeah, I had him last year too. I was watching him as a sleeper because I thought he might take a step, look good in Seattle's preseason and camp. 44 catches and six touchdowns. Another guy that's, you know, competing with Jamison Crowder, and of course the next guy we'll talk about too. Yeah, Paul Richardson, P. Rich, is a guy to keep an eye on. You know, maybe he turns into the number one receiver.
Yeah, he's definitely got that potential. And now he's still got Josh Doctson there beside him, who also had a pretty decent year last year, 35 catches, 500 yards, and six scores. I think the guy you really got to watch as a sleeper is Sam J. Perine. From a guy that filled in last year, over 600 yards rushing, only one touchdown, but 22 catches for 182 yards and a score. Perine was pretty darn good for a guy that, you know, battled injury for a good chunk of the year.
Yeah, and had some fumbling problems. To me, I think that's going to be a good battle between him and Darius Geis. I think Darius Geis is the guy that's going to come out on top of that battle. He's just, you know, almost as good as Leonard Fournette, same school. Had a great year, too. We'll talk about him when we talk about our rookies. But I'm looking at Geis to be the man. We'll see preseason. That's going to be a good battle, Joe.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, too. And we only got one more. Go ahead.
I like Josh Doctson, though, as a deep threat, touched red zone threat. So that's another guy that I actually kind of like him a little bit better than Paul Richardson, as Paul Richardson tried to learn this new team and new offense. So keep an eye on Josh Doctson. That's why I like him as a sleeper. And he might end up being the number one receiver. This would be his third year, you know, in the league. So third year is a good year for receivers, you know, to finally break out. So we'll see. But yeah, the last sleeper is Dustin Hopkins.
Yeah, you know, solid kicker, 14 field goals last year. He only had one kick from over 50 yards, and he missed it. But, you know, tail end of your draft, kicker, yeah. You know, could do a lot worse.
I think he's a streaming kicker, but those numbers are low. You know, maybe he was injured. I can't remember. I think he was injured a little bit last year, but, he's been solid before. So, again, to me, he's a kicker to watch or a streaming kicker.
Now it's time to talk about your rookie you were just talking about, Darius Geis. Monster year last year at LSU, 1,251 yards rushing, 11 touchdowns, 18 receptions for 124 yards, and two receiving touchdowns. That's pretty fantastic, and I imagine he's going to fit in well on this Redskins team.
Yeah, this is the guy I think is going to win that starting running back position. I just have a feeling if he can stay out of trouble. I know he's got some off the field issues before in the past. Leonard Fournette ceiling, maybe if he's not going to get the playing time as a rookie, then a low floor too. But the potential to really have a good season, Joe, as a you know, bell cow back and as a good receiver out of the backfield too.
Watch out for Darius Geis. Also, watch out for this Redskins defense. They've improved quite a bit the last few seasons, had some good drafts. Their defense is very good. Special teams, maybe not quite as good. They're getting there. But they have a middle-of-the-pack schedule, so this could be a streaming defense, John.
Yeah, I actually like their defense. They weren't bad last year. They have okay special teams. Probably a pretty good streaming defense to me. The schedule's, middle-of-the-pack, fairly easy schedule. Not a terrible schedule. They have a good pass rush, you know. Ryan Kerrigan is still there.
So this is an interesting division. I'm interested to see what comes out of it. A lot of fantasy stars, lots to watch, lots of sleepers. It's going to be a fun year. so I'm interested to see what happens next. But we worked our way through the entire division, and here we are at the end. So thank you guys for tuning into the Fantasy Football Goon podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at FFBGoon. You can follow me directly at Joe Mandel. Tooch, where can everyone follow you on Twitter?
You can find me at Santucci_John.
Then you also make sure you follow our friends at Bears Barroom. They've got some great Chicago Bears content as well as some really, really funny stuff. Make sure you follow on and like us on, subscribe to us on YouTube, Instagram, SoundCloud, and Apple Podcasts. We answer all questions all year long, so however you get them to us, which through whatever medium, we're going to answer all your questions. Whether it's me or Tooch, we're going to be there for you. Tooch, thanks again for joining me, bud.
Oh, it was great talking fantasy football, and we're doing AFC East next, Joe.
Yeah, a lot of fun stuff to talk about in that division. The draft is getting closer, and we're getting you guys more prepared. So God bless America, God bless football, and let's kick some ass.
Yep, we'll see you next week, Fantasy Football Goons.